Hey, everybody. We're here on the podcast. Let's get it started.
Public Yemeni number one.
Here.
Because you're a black person, you got to come early so that
we can adjust. We can adjust.
Do the lighting right.
We can adjust in real time, baby. It's what we do.
Because if I like
make it work.
If I get you on the camera and people are like, we can't see Kazim, they're gonna be like, that's racist.
That is kind of racist. Is it racist?
Everything is racist now. Everything is racist now.
Shut up, Mike.
Now
not everything is
everything
racist.
Everything is racist, bro.
Not everything is
that's
racist.
White liberals' way of saying you're wrong. Like when you, all you got to do is be like. Make a point that nobody really wants to debate, and then they just end the conversation going like, "You're racist."
I will say that that is an easy way to dismiss someone in an argument. Say you're racist, you're a bigot, right? Or to say
especially
that,
towards white people.
Yeah, it's way easy. It's way easy. Also, because a lot of times your cat just showed up and fucking startled the fuck out of me.
Yeah, why are you scared? I like how your wife is in the background. We got your wife in the background behind you.
Get her. Get sit over there.
You know, no, she can be in the background. Hey,
she may not be in the background.
No,
this is not a me, you, my wife.
Bro, you know how cool it looked because you're Muslim. She looked like one of the angels on your shoulder, bro.
A'udhu billahi wa shaitani rajim. You said that wrong, but that's fine.
Whatever, bro. I'm from Detroit. Go fuck yourself. I just met your wife for the first time right now.
Yes, you did.
And now she's got to hear me be terrible towards you.
No, you're not.
The cat looks like it's moderating the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Boom.
All right. We're
Boom.
Here with
okay,
the.
Okay, I can see myself. Yeah, I look good. All right.
Put the microphone down so we can see your dumb face, bro.
Boom. Boom. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. The there you go.
The fans.
There you go.
Hello. This is Islam versus Bacon Part 4.
Uh-huh.
What are we doing here?
Uh-huh. There
How
you
go. How you doing, Mike?
Now we're looking
How's
at
everything
each other?
With you? Last time we were here, I was engaged. And we talked about that. We talked about...
And then today you showed up unexpectedly with your wife.
I did not show up
for the first time.
I did not show up unexpectedly.
And
with
then
my
the
wife.
Next time,
no,
the next
no, no,
for
no.
Bacon versus
no, no,
Islam
no.
Part 4 is going to be
on.
You, a wife, and a baby.
And twins.
Twins. We told you
just
twins.
Just randomly. That's actually a big thing in Nigerian culture when you get married. Can you hear me fine?
Yeah. Can everybody hear Kazim fine? Also, the phone lines are open if anybody wants to call. Go ahead. Keep talking, Kazim.
That's a big thing in Nigerian culture. When There we go.
There we
I
go.
I think that's better.
Yeah.
When you get married
yeah.
and they pray for you, and they pray for you to have, like, they pray for you, one, to have a sustainable marriage. They pray for you to like, you know, always get along and never have any big problems or anything like that.
Right.
And then when they pray for you to have kids, they always pray for you to have twins. And I don't understand why.
Because,
they
man,
want
it's survival.
That pain in your life.
It's survival.
Of having two babies at one
it's
time.
It's survival. That's what it is.
I don't
it
think
is.
It's a survival thing. What did they do that for you guys too? For Yemenis?
Bro.
Do they pray for twins?
They don't pray for twins. They fuck for twins.
They fuck for
twins. Like, for example, like my great-grandfather had six wives.
Your grandfather? No. At
great-grandfather.
One, at one time.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, there's more to... Hold on a second. I don't like the way my camera's set up. Hold on.
I like it.
This is not your podcast.
I know.
You don't get to tell me how you like my cameras.
That's fair.
So, yeah, my dad... and welcome to the podcast, everybody who's joining in. Thank you for watching.
Hey.
I'm here with Kazim Rahman, a very good friend of mine. He was the very first podcast ever.
I was the very first one?
Yeah, you were number one. Remember, I did it at your apartment.
Oh, shit. That was at my...
That was it.
That was at my place when we argued over McDonald's.
Yes, we argued over McDonald's.
Yes.
I taught you what a suppository was.
Yes.
You didn't know that you could put drugs up your butt.
I did not know that. I knew that, but I didn't know
And then I was disappointed
you
that you were Nigerian. You didn't know that because I thought that every Nigerian was a doctor.
You'd be surprised.
Or at least even if they weren't a doctor, they could diagnose you.
Yeah, probably.
While they're driving an Uber.
Yeah. 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 I know a lot of... Every time I request like an Uber or a Lyft and I see the name, I was like, oh, he's Nigerian and he's not going to be an Uber for long. He's probably in school. He has like seven roommates right now. Like they hustle.
Bro, and the thing is, I think like you said that in Nigeria, they always pray for you to have twins, to have more than one, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know what I think that is? I think that derives from what human beings were like before everything was so comfortable now. Because back then, marriage was for survival.
Yeah.
It's for survival of the tribe, right?
Yeah.
So if you were going to have a baby, why not have more than one?
Yeah.
Because back then... The birth rate
help you,
but I think what the I think a lot of babies died in birth.
Yeah.
So if you could pray for twins, then the chances of at least one of them making it out alive.
One of these will make it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get it.
I think a lot of it comes from that.
A lot of it comes from the thought of a bigger family. That means the family is sustainable. The more hands you have to help you.
Sure, absolutely. Right? It's for survival.
Yeah, exactly. So it all comes down to survival.
And you want to talk about family helping each other. My great-grandfather, six wives, 40-some kids, bro.
At one time, 40-something.
Bro.
That's a lot of kids.
How do you love that many kids?
Ask Nick Cannon.
You don't.
I don't know. Listen, maybe.
I think that's why everyone in my family's fucked up.
I don't think you know the sad part, every time we do this I end up defending your family to you.
Hold on.
No,
let me turn this fan off because I know you're freezing.
No, I'm good.
Because you're Nigerian. Oh, that's the light.
That is the light.
No, it's the sound. The sound's gonna mess up.
Okay, not a problem.
Oh no, the light's blinking.
How did the light blink? Anyway, so your grandfather had six wives, 40-something kids.
Yeah.
How many kids exactly? Do we know? Do we have an exact number?
Do we have an exact number? I don't know. It's either close to 40. The last I heard, it was like around 42 or something.
42
like that.
Children.
Bro.
That's a lot.
That's Yemenis. You know, that's Yemenis, fairness, though.
That is a lot.
That's Yemenis.
That is a lot.
That's Yemenis.
40-something is a lot.
That's Yemenis.
Dang.
You know, Ahmed El-Kadri's got that freaking joke about how we've been bombing Yemen for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And the population grew.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Like
was
causing
true.
Starvation and genocide and whatever. And then the population grew by like 1 million.
Wow.
Bro, Yemenis don't mess around, bro.
You can't stop us.
Your people pray for twins. We make it happen.
Yeah, you just make
it, make it happen. Oh, no. You know what? I don't have twins.
Yeah.
I had sex with two of my wives on the same night, so we gave birth to two different babies on the same night.
Listen, in the
they
hood,
are twins.
In the hood, that's called ghetto. That's called ghetto twins.
That's ghetto. Is that? Oh, really?
That's called ghetto.
That's
twins.
A real thing.
Yeah.
Oh, ghetto I didn't know
twins.
That.
Yeah, two babies that are around the same
age. Two different baby mama.
Yeah, two different baby mamas.
Born around the same year.
Born around the same year. Born within, like, sometimes they're born, like, yeah, it happens. Right? Nick Cannon has some ghetto twins.
I know.
Yeah.
Bro, black people and...
Stop right there. Hold what you're going to say.
I'm going to say it.
Think about it first.
Anything I'm saying, I'm like not being racist.
No.
I can't be racist. I'm not white.
It's just the
Black Lives Matter already proved that. You can only be racist and white.
It's just the fact when you said that, like, yeah. I know what you were going to say was very genuine and honest to you,
yeah.
But it just sounded
it's going
to
offend people. That's fine.
You're like, hey, man, listen, black people.
This show is called Public Yemeni Number One.
Go ahead,
it's not.
Who am I gonna? How am I gonna have to defend my race to get today?
Wow!
What happened?
Wow!
I'm joking. What about black people though?
I forgot. I fucking forgot.
What are we talking about? Oh crap!
I'm over here smoking weed, bro. You can't like derail me like that.
I didn't write down my notes. I did talk to my.
I was
going to
say something very racist towards the entire race of black people, and now I completely forgot.
And that's what I do, man. It's a Jedi mind trick.
Damn, bro, that's messed up, man. I kind of wanted people to hear my truth about black people.
But I subverted that because I care about the culture. What's up, Kazim Rahman? All day, every day.
Yeah.
We need to have a conversation about that. I have sound effects on my thing, but I want an array. I want more sound effects.
Somebody said Kazim is a closet therapist. Jason Bacon says Kazim is a closet therapist. Yes.
That's very funny.
Black people.
I don't know why.
I just wanna...
Why is that so
Why
funny?
Why can't I talk about black people, bro?
Because I know you, yeah. And I know you're not going to say anything bad now.
No, but like, I wasn't going to say anything bad before.
Exactly, but this 1 ounce of me is like, uh-oh.
Because it's my demeanor. That's what it is.
It's the my demeanor. It's the beard. It's the hat. Everything. It's everything.
Everything
it's
about
the,
me.
All right, what's about to happen right now? Yeah, all right, yes, yeah. Black people, what? Okay, I promise. shout out to Final Fantasy. I know that.
No, that was Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, that was Metal. That is, oh, do that
That's
again?
Metal Gear when.
Oh yeah, when someone alert when someone finds you.
Finds you, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I missed. I loved that game. I love those old school. I don't like games that I can finish. In like a week.
Kazim.
I need like a month
Kazim.
To finish Metal Gear Solid.
Kazim.
Yes.
Black people.
Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm listening. Your
the,
cat.
The cat's listening too.
Your cat.
This is the first time the cat came to the podcast like this.
Oh, good shit.
She's usually either on some people or she like walks around or whatever. Oh, wow. But right now she's like. Moderating this thing. I wish I had a camera on her right now. Yeah, black people and come on.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yes. Say what you have to say about black people. Okay. I'm sorry. Can we at least turn the music off, please?
No.
Okay, I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay, hold on. Let me start again.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Black people. fuck, bro. I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say something...
Black people and babies?
Something about black people having too many kids. Mm-hmm. And how Arabs be having too many kids. There's very many similarities between black
people and Arabs.
And Arabs is basically what I was saying, but I forgot exactly what I was. I was on at something, bro. You're a horrible guest.
I'm sorry.
This is terrible. Bro.
I apologize.
We could have solved racism right now.
We could have.
I could have just opened a portal
between blacks and Arabs. Maybe. I don't know. And North Africans. We'll add them in. Who cares?
Yeah, North Africans, bro, they got it rough because they can't say the N-word.
They can't.
They can't.
All.
Nope.
No.
You just
they're
can't.
They're not black. They're just North Africans.
They're just North Africans.
Morocco, Tunisia. Sorry, Egypt.
You all look Palestinian,
yeah,
so get out of here.
You all look Arab to me.
You look like your home should get taken by Israel.
Yeah.
Well, there goes that topic.
Yeah.
But we had a good laugh.
We had a good laugh. I'm sorry.
Because you deep down were thinking I was going to say something
Listen,
terrible.
Man, I believe.
I believe you're a black person with white guilt. That's what I believe.
How?
Yeah, because you're already.
Okay,
you're trying to moderate.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not 100%
Guys,
sure
this podcast is brought to you by Diet 7-Up, now called 7-Up Zero Sugar. Because
wait,
why not?
No, there's still Diet 7-Up.
No.
No, 7-Up. Oh, wait. 7-Up is...
They
no
don't say diet no more.
Really?
Because diet makes fat people feel bad.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
That's not true.
I think that's basically what it is. I think
that's not true.
A lot of wording now is changing to make people feel better.
They don't say diet 7-Up because people that are larger will feel bad.
Fat. He meant to say fat.
I didn't want to say fat.
See? Why can't we say fat anymore?
I'll say fat.
You, wow.
What?
I feel like. Wow.
I fell into my trap. I will say this. If we're being fair.
Yeah.
There are some people.
Yeah.
That need to get fat shamed to get healthy.
Sure.
And then there are some people that it doesn't matter what you say.
No. I think
they're going to be fat.
I understand.
It depends on the motivation.
I understand what you're saying. I think the term fat shaming is too broad of a term. People are using it like in a way. So people will say it's fat shaming to say that it's unhealthy to be fat.
Yes.
People will say it's fat shaming to state the fact that, like, hey, if you ate less, you'd lose weight. If you actually lose weight, you probably, you know, whatever. Like,
if you exercise, if you lose
weight,
you'll
have
just less
even
knee
point
problems.
Out
yeah.
any
health
type of
science.
Things that are about health. They'll say that's fat shaming, which I think
that's fair.
It's so stupid. That's not fat shaming.
Yeah, that is
I think
a fair
that's,
point.
I think that's messed up. Fat shaming is literally putting someone down. yeah. and making them feel like shit for being overweight.
Yeah.
Or also being the type of person where, and I've met people like this, where like someone will be fat around the area and then they would just have this open disgust about yeah. that person.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? How could you even be like that? You know? Yeah. And they would talk to me or whatever, like yeah. off the cuff,
yeah.
just be like, fucking get the fuck out of here. You're, yeah. ugh, why are you wearing clothes like that if you're that big?
Yeah.
That's fat shaming.
That's fat shaming.
And that's making somebody feel bad
yes.
and mean. But when you come from a good place,
yeah.
if you come from a place and be like, hey, you know, if you lost weight, I think you'd feel a lot better.
Yes.
I think if you lost weight, your joints would wear a lot easier as you get older. Yeah. That comes from a place of love, but like I think we're in a point in our society now
yeah.
with just saying diet 7 up
yeah.
is hurtful to certain people.
I think sometimes, well, one, you are correct, right? There's a difference between holding someone accountable and actually fat shaming.
Sure.
Okay. I think that sometimes people misconstrue fat shaming amongst friends as fat shaming when it really is just friends being friendly and holding each other accountable. I'll use an example.
Sure.
I was at the Improv. This was like 4 years ago, okay. before the pandemic. I was at the Improv. Right, I had gained some weight, right? It was like 2 years into LA, right? I hadn't joined a gym yet. I was just, you know, I was still walking everywhere because I didn't know where to park correctly. It's at the Improv. And then I go there. Malik B is there. Shout out to him.
Malik B.
Malik B.
Fuck yeah, Malik
right?
B.
I'm signing up for the Improv.
Sure.
Malik B looks at me. He's like, yo, Kazeem, what's going on, man? You good? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And I'm signing up. And he's like, you sure you're good? Because, again, you're starting to look like a small refrigerator. Like, what's going on?
Like, is that what he said?
That's exactly what he said. I can tell you, I shit you not, Mike, I joined the gym the next day.
Bro.
Fat shaming sometimes works.
Bro.
It's amongst bro. Friends it works.
That wasn't even a fat shame. That wasn't because that, it's amongst friends.
That shamed me into joining the gym.
Yeah, but it was also coming from a place of love.
It was also coming from a place of,
hey man, I know you can be better than this.
Yeah, basically.
You know, I know you can be better than this. And then I'm going to fucking make a joke because we're comedians.
Yeah, we are comedians.
And we're always going to have to come in yes. like that, you know. And what better way? I think it's great. I think it's good.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's the thing. A lot of times we don't know what really motivates people, right? We only know what motivates our friends.
Sure.
Right? Me and you, are we really motivated by money? Not necessarily.
No.
Right? Because
I like money though.
We like money.
I like getting paid.
Of course, we need money to survive. You need money to go to make the world go around in our lives.
But it's not the sole motivator.
But is that the motivator?
No.
Not necessarily.
Is that the core motivator?
Is that the core motivator? Not
it's
for me.
One of the motivators.
Of course.
Making good money, doing what you love.
Yes.
Is a very big motivator for me. So, but, like, right now, I'm motivated to make X amount of dollars every month. That's a goal that I want to make,
yes.
right? And, you know, some people are like, really? That's how much you want to make a month? That's your goal? Though you yeah. think that's a little excessive?
Yeah.
But to me, the goal of making that much money isn't the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opportunity to perform in front of people.
And it's the work.
And it's a representation of how many people are coming to watch you do what you're good at.
Yes. I want to stop you right there because you said something very important that you just glossed over. You said you want to make money. Cool. But you also added doing what I love. Doing what you love is the motivator.
Exactly. Everything.
That's the motivator.
That's everything.
Because when you do what you love and you're perfect at it,
yeah.
anyone will pay you whatever they want to pay
yeah,
you.
Yeah, bro.
End of discussion.
Yep.
When you're the expert, when you're the thought, think about this.
Exactly. When you're the expert.
When you're the expert. Dave That's Chappelle is the expert
yes.
in comedy.
The GOAT.
Right? I saw him recently, by the way.
I saw him at the OC. At the forum.
I saw him. It was him and Chris Rock.
Me too.
In the Honda Center. You were there?
No, I was at I saw the last show that they did, their very last show of the tour here in LA at the Kia Forum.
Oh, yeah. We did
Rick Ingram opened.
Yes. It was Rick Ingram. For us, it was Rick Ingram. It was
Donnell
Rawlings. Then it was Chris Rock.
Yep.
Well, no. Rick Ingram, Donnell Rawlings. Then it was Mos Def and Quality.
I couldn't stand that part.
I like them.
I hated it. I fucking hated it.
Because you like Detroit hip hop.
No. It has nothing to do with that.
I don't think.
I just thought that it was.
I don't think a mini concert is needed at a comedy show.
That's exactly my point. I thought that it was a speed bump.
Yeah.
And we were already like laughing.
Yeah.
And then we had to hear a rap concert in an arena. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Concerts are great. Nothing worse than a rap concert. I love rap music. Nothing worse than listening to rap live.
Well, that's the thing, though.
I think it sucks.
I think the acoustics for rap and the acoustics for concerts are fairly different than the acoustics needed for comedy. So their microphones...
No, maybe.
Yeah, in my opinion.
No, I just think all of them are like that. I've been to other rap concerts.
I've never been to a rap concert.
I've been to rap concerts before.
Yeah.
Even like, you know, like I saw Eminem back when he was blowing up in Detroit. He was blowing the fuck up.
Yeah.
He did the entire Lions Stadium. We were in the Lions Stadium to watch him. And it was terrible. It was... You can barely hear anything they're saying. Yeah. Yeah. The only reason you know what he's saying is because
you know the song. Yeah. That's fair. What about singing concerts?
Oh, the best. You watch a band?
No.
Like, of course, one of the most epic bands ever, Stone Temple Pilots. I got to see them live in Detroit. Holy shit, Kazeem.
Hold on now.
I'm talking about sounds amazing because those instruments, man. There's something about instruments, man, that's live. It's way different than like a DJ playing shit on a fucking record, you know?
I will defend rap for a couple moments right now. I think, and I want to go back to my acoustics thing for microphones. I have YouTubed a couple Kanye West concerts.
Oh, no.
And a couple Drake concerts.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the Free Larry Hoover concert. The microphone was fine. You could hear him just fine.
You're watching it though, motherfucker.
Oh, when you're live, I guess it's different when you're in the room.
When you're watching it live, you are hearing the speakers being echoed through whatever area that you're at. When you're watching it on a video,
their
microphone feed is what you're getting.
Yeah, okay.
And then you're also probably getting the mix of what the mic is picking up from the audience. So you're getting a way better mix when you're watching.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, unless it was a video that was like from someone's camera at the inside the crowd. It wasn't one of those, was it?
No, it was
an actual feed.
I've seen both. I've YouTubed a bunch of
I never cared.
And The Weeknd. I've YouTubed some Weeknd concerts.
Yeah, but when you go there, it's different. Now, listen, if I'm not saying that you're not going to enjoy them.
Yeah.
I personally don't like rap live. Yeah. A lot of people don't. It's not great.
Yeah.
And I thought that having them come break up that momentum, especially the momentum that Donnell Rawlings.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I thought Chris Rock had the hardest spot in that entire show. The fact that Chris Rock had to follow Black Sheep. Is it Black Sheep, right?
Black Star.
Black Star, whatever the fuck. Didn't they have a Black... They had a shark... They had a...
Do not disrespect two hip-hop legends like that, Mike. Come on now.
Listen, man. I love Mos Def. Don't get me wrong.
He changed his name. I don't know why. I don't know why he changed his name.
I'm going to push him and you off a cliff, bro.
I don't know why he changed his name. I'm just telling you he changed his name.
Because he's egotistical. And I love Mos Def because especially with his history with the Chappelle Show.
Yeah.
He's hilarious in the Chappelle Show. And all those little cameos that he would have in there were freaking great. So to me, I respect Chappelle, you know, giving respect to the people that he's worked with, right?
Yes,
and giving us a throwback of that. But I thought that having to go from Rick Ingram, who's a great crowd work comic, breaking up the audience.
I think it should have started.
And then Donnell Rawlings fucking got everyone in a frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
If right after that Chris Rock came out and then Dave Chappelle, that would have been a perfect show.
That would have been a perfect show. I think starting with music would have been the better move.
Sure. Why not
starting
that?
Starting with music and then going to Rick and then going to Donnell and then going to Chris Rock.
Like, I'm surprised they didn't change that lineup halfway through to find out, because even in the crowd that I was in, you could tell there were some people that were like,
Yeah.
But then there was the majority of us are just like, another song, bro.
Well, also, in
you're
going to
do
fairness,
like eight songs
there's
or whatever?
A lot of people don't understand this. Yo, there's a lot of white people in this crowd. So they don't know Black Star like that. I know the songs. I know Mos Def songs. I know Mathematics. I can sing along. Most people around me were
not
able to sing along.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So
it really wasn't. It was, and then on top of it, it's in a stadium. The sound is not even that good.
Yeah.
You can't even hear them.
Yeah.
Now you're sitting here to watch a comedy show, and then you hit these two killers that come destroy the fucking room.
Yeah.
Got you in a frenzy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's.
I get what you're saying. I get terrible. It. That's a fair take.
But that's anyways, take. I think I learned from that a lot, man. I learned a lot from watching them all
when
perform
I, listen,
in there.
When I watched that show, I called my friend immediately, Kanis Nana. He's a comic in Houston. And I said, we are not funny. I'm not there yet. I'll get there. But am I at the level of Rock and Chappelle? When you watch that, when you watch them dissect a topic... It's a there's a different level of mastery that
there
we have
is,
to get there.
But I mean, the show that I saw, it felt a little sloppy.
You probably saw them early on.
I saw them at the very last leg.
Which one was the last
leg? There was the very last show.
When was this?
This was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you saw they were
last Sunday?
Oh, it was last Sunday?
Last Sunday.
Oh, okay. Then yeah, no, never mind. Yeah. It was sloppy? Maybe it was different.
It was a little sloppy. Almost maybe kind of felt like they were tired. Well, Chris Rock didn't have that good of a set.
Oh, Chris Rock had an amazing set.
When you saw it?
When I saw it.
When I saw it, he didn't really have
was
that good of a set.
Was his screen black and white?
No.
Okay, then it was different.
Really?
He probably did a different thing. Was he wearing all white for you?
He was.
He was wearing all white? Was his screen black and white? Or his screen was black and white for us?
Maybe it wasn't. I didn't realize it.
Oh, it probably was. Yeah. I noticed those little tiny, tiny things.
That I didn't really realize.
Chris Rock had a good... For me...
I love Chris Rock's new material. I saw him work that material at the Comedy Store, and he leveled that room. And listen, sets are sets.
Sets are sets.
Sets are sets. Some sets are going to be...
And that's the thing. Only comedians will know that.
Yeah.
We can say Chris Rock had a bad set. That doesn't take him down a notch.
No.
It just means that he had a bad set.
I don't think he had a bad set. I've seen Chris crush.
Exactly. And no one is immune from not absolutely crushing.
I know what
no
I'm saying.
No one is immune from
no that. One's immune. And but then again, I can't help it. The Black Star really killed the fucking mood, bro. They reduced.
Do you think Chris Rock had a bad set because of Black Star?
Yes-ish.
Interesting.
Because it changed the energy in the room.
It did change the energy. It does
I didn't
change
like
the
it.
Energy in the room.
It was, and then like, you know, you're seeing these two hip-hop legends that are, listen, bro, they geriatric as fuck.
They're old.
Even the way they be walking and shit makes me fucking feel bad about my next 10 years that's coming up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, listen.
But hold on a second.
Their knees aren't the best.
And then I look at the crowd and I'm just like, a lot of these people have no idea who these fucking guys
which sucks because and they're hip-hop legends.
We're not talking about
grand scheme of things, it does not matter. And
so
you're right.
I can't help but feel that Chris Rock would have had a much more way better set, man, if he came out right after Donnell and just rode
that
energy.
If Chris Rock came out right after Donnell, I feel he probably would have. I feel the energy would have been a little better. Yeah, maybe.
Because listen, man, anytime you're like headlining or whatever, you really want the guy to go up before you to crack the room.
You want him to murder.
How
if
many,
you're a real headliner.
How many shows have you ever been on that you were headlining and then they'll have a guest set, bomb. Another guest set, bomb. MC, bombs. Feature goes up. When the feature goes up just before you, I can't help but just, I walk up to him like, bro, crush him.
Yeah.
Crush this fucking room, bro. Yeah. Crack that fucking room.
Yeah.
Because I want you to crack it. Because when you crack it, now it makes it easier for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
On the other side of that.
I've been the feature.
On the other
situation.
Side of that, you could have a feature crush so hard that you can't match it sometimes.
Well, then you're not a headliner.
No. I know that. Yeah. But I'm just saying.
But yeah.
That can happen.
Even a void
from being not a headliner. You just have not that good set that day.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, the guy before you just fucking leveled the room.
Yeah.
But to me, it's just like, you know, there was the comic in me that looked at Chris Rock and was just like, bro, if we could just redo this show.
Yeah, I get it.
And get these geriatric rap guys out of there.
But also, I think in fairness to them also, from coming from us, objectively, me and you, we don't watch comedy like fans anymore. I watch it as a fan, but in the back of my head, I'm like, that was I'm laughing a little bit, and I'm like, yo, that was a very quality joke.
I know. That's the thing.
In my mind, I'm like, everyone can be laughing, but I'm silent, and I'm like, bro, man, that was such a really good
joke. I don't think I was watching the show like a fan. I was literally dissecting.
Yeah.
And there was a lot to dissect, too, especially they were like in a giant crowd.
Yeah.
And that big of a room.
Did they do it in a circle?
Yeah. And I remember when I spoke to Chris Rock, I was fortunate enough to hang out with Chris Rock.
Humble brag here. Oh, it was cool. Public Yemeni.
At the in the back of the Comedy Store. During Josh Adam Myers has his show that he does. That has a big draw in the main room. And I was hanging out in the green room.
Okay.
Ryan Sickler was there, a whole bunch of. And then Chris Rock came in to do a drive. We're like, hey, nice. So we started talking to him.
Yeah.
So people start talking. Ryan's asking him.
Was this before Slap or after Slap?
After Slap.
Okay.
Was it after Slap? I got to go on my Instagram right now to see.
Okay.
That's very interesting. I got to now. Yeah. I'm not sure, to be honest.
Because I think his mentality is like his mentality probably a little different after the Slap.
In terms of what?
In terms of his thoughts on his material. His material changed.
Well,
I'm sure it changed.
It's not even about just like about his material. I remember asking him the question. So Ryan asked him, what is the biggest crowd you ever played for?
Oh, wow.
And he had to give it some thought. And I think he said Lollapalooza, and it was like 60,000 or something like that.
That's a lot of people.
I think it was something like 60, that, or 000. Maybe more. It was 300,000 or some shit.
That's a lot of people.
There's a lot of people. It's just a lot, right? And then I asked him after that, I was like, what is it like playing those big stadiums and those big rooms? I go, does your timing have to change? And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, you can't tag up your jokes.
Mm.
I was like, what? That was like the most depressing thing I ever heard.
That is kind of sad.
I'm like, what do you mean you can't tag up your jokes? Because you can't tag up your jokes like in over here. You just hit a punchline and then blam and then blam and then blam. He goes, in those big stadiums, he goes, you're playing with your sound waves.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, because I know once I hit this punchline, that is still traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear it from the laughter. He goes, the laughter will roll like a wave.
Yeah.
And the people in the back of the house will be the last ones to fucking laugh at it. So you got to time your next thing that you say with that.
Damn.
And he was like, the way he was like showing me, it was kind of like the way he did his hands. It was like, so that thing is going out. And then you just got to get the right timing to hit this next thing to go out.
Wow.
You got to hit the next timing to hit this. He goes, so it's almost like you are slightly ahead of yourself and behind yourself at the same time.
That's crazy.
And you have to play with that timing, with how the role and I was watching him that night and paying attention to that and going, yeah, that's right, dude. They can't tag the shit up fast.
Wow.
You nervous about the cat, huh?
No, I'm fine. The cat was on my foot just 2 seconds ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like your cat, but I mean,
what the fuck is up with Africans liking cats?
No. Africans don't like animals in general. It's very rare you'll see them with pet dogs. We had fish. We had fish growing up. I had fish.
You had animals that
were in a cage.
That were
I had animals
I listen. I when your wife came in here, I told her exactly why I think it is,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to shut it down.
No. Hold on.
You shut it down.
That's not what happened. You had a theory, and I just disputed the theory by not entertaining it.
Well, let's entertain it.
No, let's not. Hold on. Kazeem, listen. Black people. No. Here's why. Because you're assuming, this is what Mike's theory is. Africans don't like cats because our ancestors. Please turn off the music.
Tell them, Kazeem, come on.
Our ancestors allegedly were chased by cats back in the day. Now, here's the problem.
Animals. All kinds of animals.
Yes.
Because, you know.
Here's the problem with
I don't
that.
Think in Yemen they had any tigers.
I don't. No.
Or battle cats.
There are no tigers in Africa either.
That doesn't. But there's big cats.
There's big cats.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not Sahara, saying tigers.
That's East Africa.
It doesn't have to be tigers.
Okay, that's fair.
It doesn't have to be tigers. It could be panthers, lions, you know, you name it.
I don't think there are panthers in West Africa either.
Are there panthers in West Africa? Panthers live in Asia, Africa, and America.
Motherfucker. Hold wow. on. Where in Africa?
My watch even said motherfucker.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. Apple or Samsung? I need. It gotta be Samsung.
You know it's Apple.
Apple be cursing?
Yeah, bro.
Damn. I think this. My question for you though, then. Do you ever want to
Because I've dated a couple African girls?
Yes.
My last girlfriend was Liberian.
Okay.
And Lebanese.
Okay.
But she grew up in Liberia, so she never been to Lebanon, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man,
there's a lot of Lebanese. There's a lot of Lebanese people in West Africa.
There's a lot of Lebanese everywhere.
There's a lot of Lebanese people are like low key Nigerian people.
They're everywhere.
They're literally kind of everywhere.
Everywhere.
Smaller country too, and they are everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yes.
A lot like it's the same. It's same with like the diaspora of like Ashkenazi Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see like even like Sabra Jews. You see them everywhere because of the persecution that they had to deal with. Lebanese people, same thing, because of the invasion of Lebanon back in the 80s. It forced them to go, and they're everywhere. I see them in Nova Scotia. Yeah. I see them everywhere.
Yeah.
So, anyways. She was terrified of this cat, bro.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
I'm that. Talking about, like, terrified. Like, she would wake up in the middle of the night and wake me up. And then she'd be like, your cat's staring at me. I'm like, because it's what's
I wrong? Will say this. Your cat does have a sad face. Like, the face of your cat is very, like, droopy. Like, it looks like it's always frowning. Is that a thing?
No. Sky. She's probably just old. Her face is probably like becoming like an old lady's face.
Maybe need some Botox, you know?
And then she also has wrinkles. She also had like a tooth missing. So we had to extract a tooth. So then like I think like one side of her face like you know?
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
No, but she got a mad face. She's like me.
Yeah.
We're both the same thing. We're very like soft resting, and cuddly.
Resting angry face.
Yeah, but on the outside this face is just like, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah.
But that's not true. I'm just high and happy.
Question for you now.
Yeah.
Do you ever want to do a stadium like Chris Rock does? Because personally, me right now in my artistry, whatever we call it, I call it artistry. I don't want to do a stadium.
I do.
I don't want to do a stadium.
I want to do it.
I want to
that because that shows that I've created that reach. That
yeah, exactly.
That my material is good enough for people to be like they want to pay to watch it.
That's true, but couldn't you still have the reach with doing theaters?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
I mean, you could.
Yeah.
You know, I listen to me. It's kind of like I don't have hair.
Yeah.
So I shave my head.
Okay.
And people ask me, "Would you rather have hair or not have hair?" But I'd rather have hair.
Yeah.
Because I can still shave my head.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then still have hair.
That's true.
Same thing with that. If I can get to the level of doing stadiums.
Yeah. Then I want to do it.
Why not?
Yeah.
I'll still do the theaters and I'll still do the clubs.
Yeah. I think about doing a stadium. I think about if I can do a stadium and still not have to like change the way I do comedy, because if I'm being fair, just objectively, I see the people that are doing stadiums and these super large arenas, and I'm like, their comedy doesn't really bite like I personally want it to do. Now
the same as like watching Chris Rock at the Comedy Store or at the Kia Forum.
Yeah,
it doesn't bite the same.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think stand-up is meant to be done in stadiums.
It's not.
I think it's a terrible venue to do stand-up in.
Yes.
But I think that when you get to that level.
When you get to the level, if you
why
can do
not
it,
rake
it.
In 100,000 in a weekend or whatever?
Yeah. In one day. Not even a weekend.
One day. That's what I'm
saying. You're just saying that's the 100,000 just for the performance. Then you have the merch.
Yeah. But right? They weren't selling merch.
They are probably not.
They yeah. weren't.
I know Gabriel Iglesias will sell merch all the time.
I will sell merch.
Yeah. We have to. I need to
sell merch. I think selling merch is great.
I need to get on that.
I remember Stevie Aoki. Stevie Aoki, he's so huge DJ. After his shows, he would sell merch.
Yeah.
T-shirts and all kinds of shit, you know?
That's cool.
Why not?
Why not?
You know, it's just extra revenue. And not only that, it's not only extra revenue. You're also giving them something of take, you.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I sell my Drop Bacon Not Bombs t-shirts, I love it, man. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I know that it's a funny, fun shirt to wear.
It is a fun shirt to wear.
You know?
I wouldn't wear it.
I don't wear it.
But it's so funny. You wouldn't wear your shirt to perform?
I never wear my Drop Bacon Not Bombs shirt to perform.
I have a friend that wears a black shirt with his Instagram handle every show. And then sometimes he'll wear it with like just like sweatpants. And then sometimes he'll wear it with like a suit jacket.
Yeah.
But he always has his Instagram handle.
Is it good to do that?
I'm sure. I don't know. I think so.
There's a lot of people depends. Following him?
I don't know. I never asked what the return on that each weekend is. Right? But yeah. It's like, I don't know. I had this idea of like, I know some people, the way they get, because I have like weird ideas on merch, right? The mm-hmm. point of merch is to, one, make money, yes, but also you want to allow people to support the journey, right? And you want people to have a piece of you, like you said, right? So my thoughts are always to make it affordable and make it something that people will probably use.
Yeah.
Right. So, I thought maybe I should make some things free where, you know, I make a bunch of pens.
What I'm doing now is I try to have things free, which reminds me I need to get some more stickers. I'll make stickers for free.
Okay.
Right. And then I'll tell people if they join my mailing list and show me the proof on their phone that they joined it, I'll give them a free sticker.
Okay, dope.
And that's been really good in getting like people to join my mailing list.
Okay. And they take the sticker?
Huh?
They want the sticker?
They want the sticker.
Dope.
Well, because like, you know, like you see that one right there, Skeet and Skedaddle?
Yeah.
So that's based off the gas stations Come and Go. There's a gas station out in the Midwest called Come and Go. They spell Come, yeah. K-U-M.
Yeah.
Come and Go. And then I have a bit about it. You probably see it. I posted it on my Instagram.
Yeah.
But when I go to those areas,
yeah,
I come in with those Skedaddle stickers because everyone there wants one.
Yeah.
Because those Come and Goes are everywhere.
Yeah.
Everyone makes fun of that name.
Yeah.
And then I have one that looks just like the logo, except it says Skeet and Skedaddle.
It says Skeet and Skedaddle. That's good.
See? And that got smart. So many people joined my mailing list in like Colorado and like Wichita good and all stuff. Those places.
Good stuff.
So that's like a thing to do, you know?
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
So I guess the next wave is, one, I need to get a mailing list. I need to get merch.
Yeah.
And you need to find ways to monetize that mailing list.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, you need to find Allah.
That too. Hey man, we're just waiting for you to come home. What's the best way you can come back to Islam is for me to
I've
be
been
the
thinking
best.
About praying again.
It's the only, in my opinion, this is the best advice someone gave me.
Sure.
They said the best way to show someone Islam
right.
is to be the best Muslim you can be and then leave it at that.
I said that about you.
I try.
I think that you're a good example of like, you know, because like, you know, you're just a really good, peaceful person and you're like very intent in helping those around you. Very intent in like, you know, I love like when, you know, every so often you'll just send me a link. Be like, America's Got Talent is auditioning.
Yeah.
Oh shit! I wouldn't even knew about this.
Listen, man, I don't.
If you didn't like hook it up like that, but that was, and I'm like that too. I like to try to help people out any which way I can. If something comes up, whatever I can do to help, and I think those are like really good qualities that human beings can have. And then I think when there's people out there that already have those good qualities, and then they also attach a structure like religion, mm-hmm. and then that helps amplify their focus.
Yeah.
And amplify. You know, how much good they can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think religion itself is very important because, like, you know, even though I don't really believe in it, there's like so much proof just from watching everyday life. And not only that, science is now proving that like we are hardwired for worship.
Yeah.
Like people who worship typically have a better sense of self. They have a better grounding in who they are. They feel they have purpose. They feel protected. You know, these are all like things that I think hijacks our natural anxiety about interfacing with this confusing fucking world. So that's not to say that I don't think that religion is important in other people's lives. It's just that for me, it gave me more questions than answers.
Yeah.
And then I myself was not becoming a better person within that structure.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe not blaming other people, but it's like when you had those questions and you'd ask people, the answers you would get would be like, well, you didn't answer my question.
Yeah, or I would get really like dumb, not dumb, wrong answers.
Yeah.
Because I think it has nothing to do with religion, but it has everything to do with the flaw of human beings.
Yes.
People always want to be right.
Yeah.
And they all want to act like they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And they will just make shit up.
Yeah.
To try to answer something.
Yeah.
And then now we all believe that's what it
is. Yeah, exactly. But that's what a lot of times, especially with like in our 20s, when you ask other 20-year-olds in general think they know everything.
Oh, right? Yeah.
They think, so when you're 20.
Bro, I thought I had that all figured out.
Of course. Of course. And this is before I started comedy.
I thought I was so strong.
We all thought
I was untouchable.
We thought we were strong. We thought we were untouchable. We thought we were the great. We thought we were the best looking person alive.
Ever.
Right? And then you reach like 20, I think everyone gets a reality check. Either you start comedy or you reach 27, basically.
For me, the reality check happened around 22, 23.
Okay.
In the Marines.
That's okay. That's different. When you're in the Marine Corps, it's, your reality check comes immediately.
Yeah, it wasn't that immediate yet. For me, it was while we were on these battleships.
Yeah.
With these other battleships.
Okay.
Crossing the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay.
Mind you, these are battleships that when I walked past them when they were docked.
Yeah.
They were.
They're massive.
Bro.
Yeah. They're like they're larger than cruise ships.
They're floating metal cities.
Yeah.
And they're huge, bro. Yeah. That on the dock, when you look in comparison to how big these giant ships are and how tiny
yeah.
the tallest person on that dock looks next yeah. to that thing. It really puts into perspective how we ain't shit. But yeah. what's worse is when you're crossing the Atlantic Ocean in a violent storm
yeah.
and you and a bunch of other Marines are addicted to nicotine. So you have to smoke no matter what.
Yeah.
So you have to do it outside.
Oh, wow.
Holding on for dear life
yeah.
while this battleship is being tossed around like a fucking toy.
Yeah.
And then I get to see the other battleships that I was marveling at how big they were in the dock and how those were being tossed around like a little, yeah. like a rubber ducky in a bathtub, bro.
Yeah.
And that was the moment where I was like, yeah. dude, you ain't shit.
That's perspective.
That was perspective.
That is perspective like no other.
It was perspective. Yeah. My super aggro Arab, also Marine ego needed yeah. because I had this hard charger. Like I wouldn't yeah. be able to feel a bullet if someone shot me.
Yeah. That's like every time I'm on a plane and it hits like some really hard turbulence, I'm like, well, this is it. I'm about to die.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm like, okay, well, this is it. Let me say some prayers right quick. I'm just about to die.
This is hilarious.
I don't like this. I hate it. Because you're in your head, you're like, how is the wind just tossing around this yeah. giant thing?
Yeah.
Like it's nothing.
Well, because we're nothing.
Because we're nothing.
We really are nothing.
Yeah.
We think we're so amazing. We create buildings, right? You look at this building and right, and look how strong these walls are. And you're like, yeah. wow, look at this. And then you watch videos of tornadoes coming through Wichita.
Bro.
And big, huge buildings made getting of destroyed. Brick just yeah. getting swallowed bro, up,
I
bro.
Remember.
Ripped out of the freaking ground. You're like,
yeah.
who the fuck do we think we are, bro?
Yo, I remember there was one time. There was an earthquake back to back, right?
Here?
Yeah, here, one like, time. Yeah. There was an earthquake on Tuesday, and then the very next day, it was an earthquake on Wednesday.
How long right? ago was
it? It was
this?
Like an aftershock. It was like before the pandemic, like 4 years ago.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
This is when I first moved in to my apart to my current apartment.
I don't know so that if was I remember like that, but I might have not been here. I think I remember people saying, probably traveling. An earthquake, and I think I was like in Detroit.
You were probably traveling at this time. And the first time, it was just like a little kind of mini thing. Then the very next day, it was like at least 2 minutes long. And then
I was not here for that.
Rob Smallwood, shout out to him, texted me. He's like, yo, you good? And I just messaged him immediately. I was like, yo, man, when shit like that happens, you just start praying. Because there's nothing you can do. You're sitting there and watching the world shake.
Bro.
And you in that moment, you're right. You realize, yo, I'm nothing, dog.
I have the worst earthquake story, bro.
Go ahead. I don't know why. For some reason, I thought you'd be like, listen, Kazim, black people.
So black people, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. What happened with your earthquake?
Okay, the earthquake. Indonesia, okay?
Okay.
Very Muslim country.
Yes.
Okay.
Shout out to Indonesia.
We're staying with family in Jakarta. We were all traveling, and I think we were all like coming back from Bali. We were all doing like a family trip, so a lot of family members.
Yeah.
And then we all got hotel at this really nice hotel in downtown Jakarta.
Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful hotel called the Kempinski. Beautiful, bro. I'm talking just one of the most beautiful, like the toilet was a robot. Like when you came in, the lights came on, and then like the seat would heat, and then the lid would just open up automatically to know that you were like, it was amazing, bro.
That's good.
Okay. So we're in this amazing thing, and the only problem that I had with this hotel, bro, was right next to it was a giant mosque.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it wasn't because, ooh, there's a mosque there. I'm just like, what time's the call to prayer, bro?
Yeah.
And how loud is that thing?
Yeah.
Because the last thing I need to do is be like sleeping late and then I have to wake up.
Yeah.
Right to that.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of times people don't know even in like Qatar, you hear during the FIFA World Cup, you hear the call to prayer.
Oh my God.
You hear it.
Bro.
5 in the morning.
In Gili Trawangan, which is a tiny 7-kilometer island in Indonesia, where it's devoted to nothing but partying.
Yeah.
And the Indonesians that live there were descendants of criminals that were part of the prison system. And they're all Muslim.
Yeah.
And mushrooms grow everywhere.
Yeah.
And everyone on that island is somebody that's vacationing and partying. And all these clubs on the island are just going, and you were here, Allah, Akbar,
you gotta hear it, bro.
Those guys are praying through everything. They don't give a fuck.
Just in case. What if someone's partying and they hear it? And they're like, all right, let me go pray real quick. Let me come back.
I'm in Indonesia. I'm in Indonesia, bro. I'm sleeping. And I wake up. And I've been in earthquakes out here before. These little, cute little moments, right?
Yeah.
This one here, bro. As soon as the fucking, it was like a 6 point something. As soon as the thing started shaking, I started looking. I was like, oh my God. The ceiling was doing this. It was flexing.
Wow.
And I don't know if it was flexing because the building was actually flexing.
Yeah.
Or was it an optical illusion, kind of like you do, you know, when you take a pen and then you like bounce it up and down. It looks like it turns into rubber.
Yeah.
That's how much we were moving.
Wow.
So the room to my vision looked like it was dancing. Like,
wow.
That's what it looked like. And when I saw that, bro, I've never seen like an earthquake like this. And I saw the ceiling moving like that. I, in my mind, was like, this is it. I'm going to die. And as soon as I had that thought, the mosque went, Allah, Akbar,
they don't give a fuck about your earthquake. They're going to call. Hey, yo, I know the earth is shaking right now. But, yo, listen, in 10 minutes, we about to pray. So everybody go wash up.
Do you have any idea how scary that was?
Real talk, I would have paused. I would have paused the amount on that one. I would have been like, you know what? Let's wait. Let's see if
It was on a timer. It sounded like it was just a recorder that was on a timer.
That'd be so funny if it was a dude, though. He was like, yo, says, yeah, Ahmed, you're gonna call right now?
His
the
voice.
The world is shaking. People must know it's time to pray.
And he's like, I went to the strip club last night. I want to make sure I make it into heaven.
Exactly. It's just like, so I got to call it.
One of those guys is like, you know how if you die during Ramadan, you go straight to heaven? It's like he thinks like if he's doing the prayer right as he dies, he's going to heaven.
Well, I don't know.
And that like negates the strip club last night.
I don't know.
But can I tell you what?
Yes.
How scary that was?
Hold on
a second.
Wait. Okay,
I'm already not a good Muslim.
Question.
I eat bacon.
Where were you?
I smoke weed. I don't pray.
Where were you? Were you high up?
High up.
Fuck.
High up.
That's high. Yeah, I can't. No.
And then, I was on the top floor, right? So then.
You in the penthouse?
No, but it was like the top floor of the building. Right? It's one of the rooms on the top floor. Yeah. So at the penthouse. No, but this place was really nice. But anyways, point is, everyone in my family met downstairs in the lobby.
Mm.
Okay. They're all downstairs in the
after
lobby.
After an earthquake?
After an earthquake. They go downstairs into the lobby.
Yeah.
Because there's like fire alarms. Right? And I just wanted to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
So I did. And then I get a call. They wake me up. Hey, we're meeting down the lobby. I'm like, no. And I hung up and I went to sleep.
Okay.
And then they picked up the phone. They were like, Mike, come down to the lobby. What if there's another earthquake? And all I told my mom was I'm like, you're on the very bottom floor. I'm in the very top floor. I go, you guys die first.
That's how sleepy Mike was.
That's what it was like, what? After
that is very Arab logic.
Every after that, because to me it was like, yeah, I'm just gonna try to sleep, and if I end up dying, I die.
Yeah,
that's how I looked at it.
Yeah, okay,
you know, and they think going into the lobby is gonna save everyone. You're still in the same building. What the fuck you think?
You should leave. If there's another one, I'd leave the.
Yeah,
you should leave
the hotel. Yeah. You should get the hell out of there. Yeah. Right. But I'm just gonna go to sleep. But I'm gonna tell you what, hearing the prayer while the earth was shaking almost made me come back to Islam. Almost, bro. It was almost like God was like, you piece of shit.
That's God saying, yo, you fucking up. But here's the earth. But also, here's this dude that's going to call you to prayer right quick.
I personally don't think like it matters what religion you are. I think it matters how you treat people.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Listen, we're all going to find out.
There's a part of me that's like, there's another part of me that's like, who are we to think that God is very loving and compassionate?
I don't even know where that is coming from, and I don't get what you're saying.
Well, because the Quran starts with that, most compassionate, most merciful.
Okay.
Right? They remind us in the beginning of every verse, yo, he's the most compassionate, he's the most merciful.
Okay.
You know,
and you're saying, who are we to think that?
Yeah, because to me, it's like almost everything that I look at as examples in nature.
Okay,
it's violent and unforgiving. What? You know, it's only
what example? Oh, like earthquakes and hurricanes, and
anything.
Stuff like that?
The universe don't give a fuck about you. You know what I mean? Like everything's out there to kill you. Everything out. You know what I mean? Like you go out.
Yeah.
Like zebras are just getting there. Like you know.
But wouldn't you? But you wouldn't add us into there. You wouldn't add us into that. We're still part of the universe. We're still. I'm a compassionate. I try to be compassionate. You're a compassionate guy.
I think we just have it because it's something that we can actually. We have the luxury of being compassionate.
Okay.
Because we've created this like world where we're sheltered.
Yeah, we're not. I get what you're saying to an extent. We're not. We are not.
I think what
animals,
we are now.
We have the luxury of being.
What we are now.
Yes.
To be able to sit here and think of these thoughts and everything, and just be able to sit in this comfort.
Yeah.
This is very recent.
Yeah.
That we've had it this good, right?
Yeah.
And it fools us into thinking that everything's so lubby dubby, you know, like bears are just like bears in Coca-Cola commercials, you know, they're just like drinking Coke.
Yeah, but I'm
nice.
Not about to go hang out with a polar bear.
Yeah, but
quick.
Some people will though, because they have this mindset of this world. But like when I look at like examples of the world, it's very unforgiving. It's very dangerous.
Okay,
it don't give a fuck about anyone. It doesn't, it's like your feelings don't really matter in the grander scheme of things.
Yes,
and to me, there's a friend of mine. His dad just before he passed away, was a kind of like a conspiracy theorist type of guy, but he was also grounded.
Okay.
And grounded. And in one time I remember he goes, I asked him, I was like, Bill, do you believe in God? He's like, oh yeah, I believe in God. I believe he's a big green alien. Now hold on a second.
Yeah.
There's something to that now that I
What is starting. To that?
Because to me it's like, is God this is God this great creator energy thing that we think it is, right? Or is God just what the ancient ancestors of ours dealt with, like an extraterrestrial that came down? And because are you familiar with Graham Hancock and Randall Carlson?
You know I'm not. And you knew the answer to that question.
I didn't know that.
You know I'm stupid.
That doesn't mean you're stupid. I don't know. So there's a journalist named Graham Hancock, and he caused the stir, right?
Okay.
Because he is challenging regular anthropologists and people who write history,
okay,
and saying that he believes from his findings that human beings have been here far longer than we actually think it is. So like one of the things that he points out to is that one of the most recent discoveries that a lot of anthropologists are not taking into account, because a lot of anthropology is like pretty much, we figured it out.
Yeah.
And Graham Hancock's a journalist going, no, there's more to do. But a lot of these institutionalized scientists, his argument is they are not taking some of these new findings into consideration. And one of the new findings that he likes to point out to is how they found water erosion on the Sphinx. So I guess they did some excavation around the Sphinx, and when they reached another level below where parts of the Sphinx was still there, they found evidence of water erosion.
Okay.
Meaning that eons of water was there eroding the basin of this thing. So there was water here. And if there was water here, then that means that places the Sphinx hundreds and thousands of years way further back than we expected.
Yeah.
So his argument is that human beings were very advanced a lot further back than we think. We think human beings and civilization only started like 2,000 to 5,000 so years ago. He's saying that clock goes back way further.
Yeah.
And he believes that human beings back then were very in touch with the universe and knowledge and technology. Then a cataclysmic event happened, where he points out that there's actually proof that major cataclysmic things happen, whether it be asteroids, giant volcanoes blowing up, killing like many, many life forms on the planet. And so his idea was human beings were very advanced back in the day, right? Cataclysmic event happens, makes all technology go back to ground zero, and the remaining 10,000 people that survived that cataclysmic event had to
redo society.
Okay. And a lot of what religion is the remnants of them piecing back together all of the history that they knew from the last advanced civilization, which is fascinating to me.
What do you mean a lot of religion is that? Means that they had a lot of religion before?
That religion is actually a piecemeal of all of the history that we lost.
So, but how? Right? Because if Judaism was first and then later was Christianity.
No, before that.
No, I'm just saying, you're saying before that was, okay. What you're saying is before, like, let's say the Abrahamic faith.
Sure.
Before the Abrahamic faith.
Sure.
Was the
a very advanced society of humans. A very
advanced society of humans, and then they got destroyed.
And they got wiped out, and only a very small portion of people had to rebuild. So it's kind of like if the world,
like Noah's Ark or something.
If the world right now,
if the world right now
blew up,
bro, Noah's Ark.
What about it?
The flood with the Sphinx. Is that shit what he's talking about?
I don't know if he's talking about that directly, but there's something there probably.
Who knows?
But
I don't know.
But to me, it's like I've been having a lot of these thoughts now, especially with guys like Graham Hancock bringing that up, to where it's kind of like, because like those ancient societies all talked about visitors.
Yeah.
And if you watch the documentary that, Graham Hancock put up, he even like shows some of these ancient societies they dug up that had under
the drawings.
That no, they dug up these cities that were underground now, and they go levels and levels underground.
Yeah.
And when you go in there, you see how advanced they were in creating these. And his idea was the real reason why people started going underground is because aliens were visiting and they were terrified.
Yeah.
They were terrified. And that's why human beings, when we say God, we always point up.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that there's another idea that there's a breed of aliens called the Anunnaki, who the early Mesopotamians put in their tablets, that they were visited by these aliens called the Anunnaki. And then in their writings, they said that we are part them, that they came here, spliced our genes. They did experiments with different animals because they needed to create workers.
Yeah.
And the idea was, is they created human beings to be workers for them to mine gold. Mm-hmm. So that apparently these aliens had to come down, mine gold from here to take it back to their planet because they didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was going to be used for something.
Mm-hmm.
And people say that's probably one of the reasons why human beings go crazy for gold. Like, we were bred to be that way. That's why gold is like one of the most precious metals to us.
I don't know. But then saying all that, why would you say that, going back to the original of how this conversation got started, why would you say, who are we to think that God is so merciful?
Because, like, what if this thing that we think is a god is actually just another race of
aliens?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, it's very possible.
I can only tell you what I believe.
What do you believe?
That there's a god. That there's no I believe in aliens. I'll say that, right? Islam talks about aliens, but Islam says that there are he's the Lord of all worlds. He doesn't say he's the Lord of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you can interpret that how you want to interpret
plural.
That.
It could also be the multiverse.
Exactly.
You know?
Right? If there's like three more of us, bro.
There's way more.
That'd be horrible.
Infinite.
There's another guy doing Islam versus Bacon part 17 already. They're already on 17. What the fuck are we talking about?
There's like another.
No, but I feel, I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. This world sucks in general. In the sense of, this world is very dangerous. Not like it sucks, like this world sucks. But it's very dangerous. There's dangerous things. People can be dangerous. Animals are dangerous. But even out of all of that,
and this thing that we think is a god is probably very, very dangerous. And
I don't
maybe
say
very
god
unforgiving.
I hope not.
I'm terrified. I hope the Quran is right.
I hope
the Quran is right, man.
Yeah, I hope this merciful shit is gonna happen.
Because hey, most compassionate, most merciful is and having that be in every verse of the Quran.
Yeah.
It's almost like
in the beginning. Have it start every
Verse every, starts that way.
Yeah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman.
Every chapter starts that way. Yes.
Every chapter, right?
Yes.
Starts that way.
Yeah.
And even
exactly. So I'm gonna go a little deeper for you, right? For it says Rahman and Rahim. This is so inside baseball, but we're going to do this, right? Rahman, right? It's Rahma, which means mercy, but it comes from derived of Raham. And I'm probably getting these words wrong, but it's like the mother's womb. So it's mercy in the sense of that he gives you mercy even if you don't deserve it. In the sense when a mother is taking care of their child when they're in the womb, has the child done anything to deserve the careful, the eating right, the exercising right, the water, staying, not drinking and stuff like that? Has the child done anything to deserve the mercy that the mother gives that child? That's where Rahman comes
from. Whoa, that's deep.
It is deep.
That's almost meaning that like he's looking at us.
He's looking.
He's viewing us in that loving way where it's like, does this baby deserve it? It doesn't matter. It deserves it.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's Rahman.
Wow.
So it's deeper than that. It's not. See, a lot of times people are like, the most beneficial, most merciful. It's deeper.
It's deeper than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the names of God are, in Islam, the names of God are deeper than just a single name.
Yeah, one of my Marine buddies said, that's deep.
Come on home, bro.
But that is very deep. Yeah. So it's like it takes it even further.
It takes it even further than that. Wow. You're thinking, you guys are just thinking, because think of it this way. You're thinking, I'll use another name. It's like Latif, right? We all know like Latif Tayor. Sure. Shout out to him.
Shout out to Latif Tayor.
Bring your podcast back, Latif. Anyway, don't. I like
it's a,
it.
It's a mistake. It's hard.
I like listening to it.
It's hard work.
Well, that's why Morocco lost. Anyway,
hey!
So where's the DJ horns for that? No. Nigeria wasn't even in the FIFA thing. So Latif, if you read Latif, it just says the person, the kind. Not necessarily. It's deeper than that. It's kindness that you don't notice. Right? So it's the subtle and the kind. The subtle kindness that God gives. Like the fact that I blink without having to really think about blinking, that's a subtle generosity that God gives us. Think about that. Damn. Right? The fact that you breathe without thinking about breathing. Without having to really...
Bro, I mean, that's so deep.
It's deeper than that.
I love it.
It's deeper than that. But all these names are deep. Also, I took a class. So that was a long... When
that
I was
doesn't
like
matter. That's you're so, yeah. Still passing on the knowledge. That whole Rahman.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
it's mercy that we don't deserve. So think... And that's the thing.
But what do you mean? It's mercy that we don't deserve. But I don't think that's a great way of saying it.
It's mercy that... Yeah, you're right. It's... What's a good way of saying it then?
It's unconditional. It's like unconditional mercy. Basically saying like, yeah, right? Like a baby in the womb of a mother's stomach, what has that baby done to deserve this mercy, right? Yeah. Because in that sense, that baby has not been given a chance to be anything, exactly. Really. It's thoughts, it's ideas, its actions are not even cognizant.
That
yet.
Baby could go to jail in 18 years,
bro.
But you're still, that's a horrible way of you.
But it takes the mercy thing to another level, to where it's almost as if like God is so merciful in that your actions here are kind of looked at as like you even. I can't even take what you did that seriously because you literally are not a fully formed being yet.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's not until you transmute into that next level of life.
Yeah. And then we can take account.
Damn.
Boom.
Then maybe you get to the fourth dimension and then it's even worse. Like you get over there and it's just like, God bro. Everything I do matters now. And then it's not even Bismillah Rahman Rahim anymore. It's like, Bismillah, watch out, bitch.
No, that is not. Where do we go from there? How did we get from here to there? Sunday. Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's deeper than that, right? Mercy is deeper than that. It's a deep kind of mercy.
Wow.
But it's cool.
It's unconditional. It's almost mercy. Unconditional on a level that really puts into perspective. Like it almost makes someone nefarious go, well, then I can just do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Right? It's almost as if like, you know, I can just murder people.
Yeah.
The thing is, when you say that, man, it really takes that most merciful thing to such another level.
It's another level.
It really does take it to another level.
Especially the fact that we start every chapter with it.
And that's the thing that I try.
And you're supposed to, before you eat, you're supposed to say that.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Exactly. Absolutely. So think you're always saying it. A constant reminder.
Constant reminder. But I think it's become so habitual that people say it that they don't really take it into account.
They don't take it into account.
Too many, like I know too many like Muslims, including myself.
Yeah, me too.
When I was coming up in the religion, I was very conflicted because I was like raised to believe that you're going to hell.
Yeah.
You're not doing this, you're going to hell. You touch your dick too much, you're going to hell. You know what I'm saying? Like you kiss that girl, you're going to hell. You know, it's like... I'm sorry.
You touch your dick too much. I don't know why that caught me off guard. I'm so sorry. I was trying to keep a straight face and let you keep talking, but I can't. Oh, man, it's just funny, dog. You're like, hey, man, you're going to hell. You touch your dick way too much. Too
much. One time a day is good. You do it 3-4 times, what's wrong with you?
Too much.
And you're using porn, it's not good for you. Yeah. So, but I mean, I think too many people come up with religion in that mindset, that toxic mindset, right? Because even in like in Christianity, they try to give the same type of
fear.
No mercy.
And like,
if you think about God, Jesus died for your sins.
Yes.
It's okay. So like that's their kind of way of saying that, look, God did the heavy lifting for us.
Yeah.
He loves you.
Yeah.
He doesn't hate you.
Yeah.
It's only in the Old Testament that he hated. Like Lewis Black said, he's like, in the Old Testament, God was a fucking asshole. He was just furious, fucking with people, causing floods or whatever, and then he had a son, and he was like, "Wait a second, I kind of like life. I got to be a good dad."
I get that. I think a lot of times when people, especially when for immigrants, I can only speak because I just grew up an immigrant around a lot of immigrants.
It's not just
Nigerians. It's like Arabs, Pakistanis, Indonesians, sure. Indians, all of it. It's like a lot of times they use, unfortunately, we use religion to teach. We use religion for teaching structure, but we also use religion to teach obedience.
And control. Right?
But we don't use religion to teach like enlightenment, or you don't use religion to teach mercy.
Sure.
You don't use religion to teach, you know, striving for the best.
Sure.
You don't use religion to teach the things that religion actually talks about.
Exactly.
Right? So
it's too much obedience training.
It is a lot of obedience training.
You know, which I think like soured the religion for me. Not only that.
But it sours the religion for a lot of people. I know a lot of people I grew up with that just aren't Muslim anymore. But they went to the same mosque I went to. But they're just not Muslim anymore. And you ask them and it's like, I just wasn't, they were never.
Do you feel that everyone should do you feel like I should try to become Muslim again? Or do you think, whatever makes you a better person?
I think strive to reach ultimate enlightenment for whatever that is for you. I can only speak for me. Islam was the right choice for me.
Was it a choice? Your family's Muslim.
Yeah, but I still chose, right? Your family's Muslim too. You left. So what are you talking about? I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that.
I didn't leave my family, bro. Fuck out of here. What are you talking about?
Listen, Mike, black people, sometimes, you know, we say things. Listen, Mike, sometimes black people will just say things, but we don't say it in like the right way. But we mean in a genuine way. That's what I mean. Right? You're not as practicing as you would like to be. That's what I meant. You're like DJ Khaled. Right? He went to Mecca with Mike Tyson. And that was cool. I need that sound effect. Yeah, I think I don't see a problem with religion. But then that's just who I am as a person. Right? I can understand why people don't see why people have a problem with religion. I can make the argument that a lot of times people's problems with religion are people's problems with actual people and not necessarily the religion itself. But
that's kind of like guns don't kill people. People kill people.
To an extent. Argument. Right? And people with guns kill people. Right? So people that...
But the gun itself is not doing
anything. Yeah, the gun itself is not necessarily doing anything.
It's just a tool.
But if people... Yeah. Don't have the correct understanding of how to use guns or when guns should be used. Same way with religion. If people don't have the correct understanding of how, you know, religion is.
I just didn't respect my parents in religion in the way there.
I don't know why that hurt. Why? Leave your parents alone. I like them. I've never met them. But, you know.
What the fuck?
I think it's my immigrant fear of like, oh, don't disrespect your parents.
No,
don't do that.
I didn't respect my parents in the confines of religion because they were like many people that I saw growing up with in Detroit, kind of hypocrites with the religion. Yeah. Like my father wanted me to pray five times a day.
Yes,
but he wasn't praying five times a day. Mm. And it was like, why are you pushing this on me? And you're not even doing it.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize the importance of leading by example until after I joined the Marine Corps. And when the Marine Corps taught that how important it is to lead by example, it made me realize why certain things that my dad did said to do but didn't do didn't sit with me.
Yeah.
You know? Fair. So it was like, here I have this guy going, you need to be a better Muslim. You need to fucking start praying five times a day. But then in the bird's eye view of it, it's like, yo, you are not even that good of a Muslim.
Yeah.
You just want me and my sister and my mom to be good Muslims so that we can project that this family is good Muslims while you just do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. That's fair.
No, that's not to say that he was a bad father. He was a very good father. He didn't cheat. He didn't like go out with his friends. He just worked and came home. So he was a very dutiful father, right? He did his job, and you know, his argument was, I'm too busy to pray five times a day. Well, then come on, man. You got to show me something.
Yeah.
Okay, you can't pray five times a day, but you could at least pray Maghrib when you come home.
Yeah.
Right? Show me something.
Yeah.
The only time I saw him praying was when it was Ramadan. It was like, oh, yeah. so we only buckle down when it's Ramadan, you know? And, you know, like, they taught me really good life lessons and things to do, and those stuck. But then certain things that they would contradict.
Yeah.
Made me just go, well, what is this then? If it's not real, or
that's true.
You know what I mean?
That's fair. It's like you want to tell people, oh, you should just go learn more about the religion. But the easiest way to learn about a religion is to watch the people doing the religion. Exactly. And if you're watching the people doing the religion, not doing the religion, then where is...
Now, imagine my father being open-minded, you know, didn't have all the insecurities he had that made him like become a troll, was praying five times a day, was structured, lived by his word, led by example, right? Showed me certain things, and then did it within this confine of Islam, and then raised me in that. I'd probably still be a Muslim right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know
what I'm saying?
But to me, it's just like after a while, it just wasn't sin with me. Funny thing is, though.
Yes.
I'm now starting to have a more broader view of what religion does for people and how important it is. You know, like even when you look at the science shows that people who actually have a worship, they biologically are healthier. Mm. Like, especially like on a mental level, they feel more, those people are more grounded, less anxiety.
Yeah.
They have something to put their hearts and their fears into.
Have you ever met an older black woman that goes to church?
They are, of course. I'm from Detroit.
They're very chill.
They are.
They're very chill. Everything's a
blessing.
Not all of them, but in general, people that go to church all the time and actually go, not just go.
I have tenants that are black people, and the ones that go to church, my favorites, bro. They're my favorite.
The way you said that with us, like, those are my only favorite.
No. But I mean, a lot of them do.
Yeah.
One of the ladies, she doesn't, and she's trying to, like, you know, fuck me over. And she's a terrible human being.
Yeah.
But shout out to, like, you know, those other tenants that I have. And you're right, though. Like, like the one lady that I had that left, she was crazy.
Yeah.
She was crazy in the sense, she was that crazy black woman where she was like very nice and everything was fine or whatever. But then right when she didn't like something, she would fucking like just like go off on you. But man, she was great people. You're right. They are. That is true. Why do you think that is?
Black people, and you can turn on the music really quick. All right, Mike, listen, black people, and I can speak for black people in this one aspect. Naturally, we're just naturally very spiritual. Whatever the religion is, we're just it's just a natural inclination that I've seen with black people of all, whether it be Nigerian, Liberian, right, African American,
Detroit,
Jamaican, Detroit, New Orleans, New York, Alabama. Black people are just naturally spiritual people. That's why when you're doing jokes with black people, you really probably should never talk about suicide unless it's a really, really, really good joke. Because we just don't like that kind of... We don't like to think about that.
Also gay people.
No. What are you talking... D.L. Hughley has a very funny joke. It's like, we need gay people. Who's going to run our choirs?
That's fine. But he hasn't done the Cleveland Improv.
I don't know.
You do a joke about how maybe you suck the dick because it's a joke, and then the whole room turns on you. Even the gay black people in the room are mad at you for doing that joke.
Yeah, probably.
Everyone.
Well, maybe you just need to make the joke better. I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. It's one of those Kevin Hart. Damn. Well, guys, that's our time. We're here.
This is my show. I tell them when it's our time, bro.
What time is
it? Actually, we do got to get going. We went for about an hour and 20 minutes. Oh, my buddy Bolty said Queen Latifah for Latif Tayor. The word Latif.
Oh, Latif is, yeah, Latifah.
So Latifah would be
from Latif.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
And what does Latif mean?
Latifah is, it means the subtle. It derives from, it means the subtle, but the greater thing is, it's the one who is subtle, but it comes from kindness. So the ones that the subtly kind,
yes,
being kind in ways that are unnoticed.
These fucking people like, I'm gonna give this homeless person some food, and you're gonna film me, and I'm gonna mic him, and we're gonna talk about it, and everyone thinks I'm great.
Yeah,
I hate that so much, bro.
Yeah. Well, no, that sometimes you can inspire people to give. A lot of times it doesn't work, in my opinion.
It's not about that.
I don't like the
self-centered, egotistical
sometimes, and I'll give people the benefit of the doubt. I don't know how to talk. I get, my mouth gets jumbled a lot.
You should get that checked out.
I like to give people the benefit of the
LA Care Gold.
And shout out to LA Care Gold Plan. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. January 1st, 2023. Yeah. We'll see.
I just got silver.
What were we talking about?
Anyways, I forgot. Yeah. What were we talking about?
Follow me online, Kazeem Comedy.
Kazeem Comedy.
K-A-Z-E-E-M Comedy. I have a podcast, Tough Choice, with Kazeem Rahman. Mike will be a guest for February. I was going to moik him, do my podcast this weekend.
Moik him?
Make him. You know what I said, you moik son of a bitch.
That's hilarious.
Edit that out. I'm
There's
lying.
No editing. It's
we live. Don't edit here. But yeah, follow that. We're going to do some really cool things. Hopefully next year we can do some live shows for the podcast. Hopefully we can travel more. Follow me online. I have a website soon. It's going to launch like in a week or so.
Nice.
So yeah, big things for 2023.
2023 is happening.
2023 is all about execution.
Same with me. Anybody listening, MikeFromDetroit.com. Go there. I got a sign up sheet to sign up for my mailing list. Would love for you to join my mailing list so that way I can let you guys know when I'm in town. This January 6th and 7th, I'm headlining Club Comedy in Seattle. And then February 5th, I'm headlining Mic Drop Comedy in San Diego. More dates coming soon. Stay tuned, guys. I love you. Thank you so much. Happy New Year. And eat bacon, Kazeem.
Public Yemeni number one.